Take your Bibles, turn to the book of Colossians. Colossians. Well, I don't know if I finished Daniel, but we're done with Daniel, okay? So I don't think you could ever finish Daniel. I feel like you could be in there for the rest of your life, but the Lord's kind of just been laying this book on my heart, and there's such a powerful truth in the book of Colossians. And we're going to get into that. It's four chapters, so it's not a long book, but it is packed full of good stuff that I think each one of us can benefit from. And so that's where I'm going to start just a series through preaching through the book of Colossians, but this is kind of an introductory message. So Colossians chapter number 2, if you found your place, you'll stand with me for the reading of God's word. Find it interesting how the Lord works things out in songs and messages, and we start a song called Complete in Thee, and the series title is Complete in Christ. So I think that's God's doing, right? God does that kind of stuff, and I'm thankful for it. Colossians chapter number 2, look down at verse number 6. We're going to read through verse number 10, and this is really the reason that we're here, is because this is really what the book is all about, right here in these verses. And then everything kind of attaches itself to this principle that's found right here in Colossians chapter number 2, verse number 6. Where the Bible says, "As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving." Beware. That's always a good thing to pay attention to, right? Warning signs, beware signs. You know, if I'm going on visitation and I see a beware sign on somebody's house, I'm going to pay attention because I don't want to get bit. So beware, pay attention to this verse, verse number 8. "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily." And verse number 10 is really our central theme right here. "And ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power." Let's ask the Lord's blessing on the message tonight. Father, we're so grateful for your goodness, grateful for your love, the singing tonight. And God, if we would just listen to the words in these songs, we couldn't help but just give you glory, give you praise for what you've done, what you continue to do. And God, we just pray your blessings on this service, Lord, that you'll fill me with your spirit, that I would only say those things, Lord, that would be pleasing, honoring to you, and that your spirit would do a work in our hearts tonight. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Thank you so much for standing. Complete in Christ. Have you ever got that uneasy feeling when you leave for a trip that you forgot something? I think we've all been there. So usually what happens at my house is we get all 9 people in the vehicle and all 9 people's luggage in the vehicle. And then we back out of the driveway and then we head down the road. And we don't get very far before we are turning the vehicle back around and we are coming back to the house because somebody forgot something. Not going to name any names, but my wife. And this is funny because this is how it works, because nobody wants to be that person. You know, it's kind of like on a trip when you have to use the restroom and you don't want to be that person that says, "Hey, can I go to the restroom?" So nobody else in the house says they forgot something. But somebody will say something, such as my wife, and we'll get turned around, we'll head back to the house. She'll get out of the car, and then 3 or 4 other people will leave the car and go inside the house. And I'm like, what in the world are we doing? Are we ever going to leave? And so that's how it works at my house. And then they grabbing all their stuff and get back in the vehicle, and then we get headed down the road. So I've learned what I need to do, and so this is what I do. I get everybody in the car, get all the luggage in the car, and then I just sit there for a couple minutes, so everybody can just process everything. And then I say, "Hey, did you remember everything? Everybody good?" And then we back out and we leave. Now, I'm not saying that's foolproof. We've still had to turn around sometimes, but that's the way it works sometimes. So, you know, we just went on our cruise, which, by the way, I just want to thank the church once again. We had such a great time. I'm so thankful that we are just part of such a loving church and a pastor that loves and takes good care of us. And it was such a blessing. And my in-laws taking care of all of our kids. And it was just very unexpected. And it's something that, you know, is unusual. So we got on the cruise and we're like, we don't even know what to do with ourselves. We don't know what to do. But we had a good time. We're very thankful for it. But I can't tell you how many times when we were heading out that I checked and double checked to make sure I had my boarding passes and my passport, because you can forget everything else and you can still get on the boat. But if you forget those things, you're not getting on the boat. Okay. Those are vital things. Those are very important things, or you're not going to make it to your destination. You are not going to make it to the Bahamas if you do not have those things. So made sure, double checked to make sure we had those things. I feel like in the Christian life, we can be the same way at times. We have everything packed up for this spiritual journey that we're on. But oftentimes we are leaving something behind that is going to have to, it's going to make us have to turn back. We're not going to get to where we need to go when we leave this behind. What is it that we need, Brother David? What is it that we leave behind? Well, it's really the one thing that you need. It's kind of like that passport, that boarding pass. You have to have it in order to make it to your destination, to make it in the Christian life. You need this. In order to reach our spiritual destination and in this spiritual journey, we must realize that everything that we need, everything, you can leave so many things behind, and we carry on so much baggage that we don't need to carry. But if you leave Christ behind, then you will not be able to make it to your purpose and destination in life. Christ cannot be set on a shelf. He cannot be something you pick up on Sunday and take with you to church and act like a Christian. Christ must be the center of our lives. Christ, if you're going to be complete and you're going to make it to the destination, that spiritual destination in life, you must have Christ with you. Amen. You have to be complete in Him. Find in Him all those things that you need. You don't need more motivational, inspirational, and informational books. Although I'm not against those things, and I read lots of books. But we have to realize that the Bible says that we are complete in Christ. We are complete in Him. In many ways, we think about being complete in Christ for salvation. But my friend, salvation is only the start, and it's only the beginning of a relationship with Christ. It is so much more. If you have a deep personal relationship with Christ, you'll be able to face anything in this world, and you'll be able to win because you're on the winning side. You have Christ with you. Colossians is a very interesting book. It's packed with famous verses and verses that we like and we've heard and we've memorized, and it covers really a broad realm of topics, such as creation is addressed in the book of Colossians, the law is addressed, salvation, the church, apostasy, the family, business, on and on we could go. We're going to find those things in the book of Colossians. And Paul addresses all those things in just these four short chapters. So let's learn a little bit about Colossae. Where was Colossae at? Well, Colossae was not a large city. It was in the same area as Laodicea. And you remember, you've heard of the church at Laodicea. It was in that same region. It would have sat on the border of Asia Minor. It was at one time, it was a fortress city. However, at this time, since the influence of Rome had reached far beyond this area, it seemed like this city wasn't really that important at this time, other than maybe it still being on a main trade route. It wasn't that Colossae was anything that anybody was going to see. It would be kind of like Plainview, Texas, you know? It's on the interstate, but there's not a whole lot there. So, not really a super important city to many. Somewhat of an insignificant city at this current time. Paul had taken several missionary journeys. but none of them landed him in the city of Colossae. However, news came to the apostle Paul, and he was thrilled about this news, that there was a body of believers in Colossae. What a blessing. You remember that Paul's in prison in Rome, and he wrote this letter to this church after hearing of them accepting Christ and this body of believers that is there in Colossae. And Paul expressed several times his strong desire to meet with them, and he had great conflict inside of him for them. He wanted them to do right. He wanted them to follow after Christ and be strengthened and everything like that, but he wasn't able to be there. He was in prison. So it wasn't a, when it says great conflict in the book of Colossians, it's not a battle, but a strong love and a concern to lead them, and that led him to pray fervently for them. We know that Paul desired to go this direction. We know that Paul desired to go to the east, and he desired to go reach some of these cities. But you'll remember in Acts chapter 16 that Paul received the Macedonian call. And so he's being directed in a different direction. And now, you know, he's in Rome and he's sitting in a prison and he's writing these letters to these churches. But Paul still loved those people. He wanted to see them get saved. So you can just picture Paul when he heard this news. It's like any of us that we read on Wednesday nights, we get a missionary letter, and maybe it's some far off land that maybe it seems unreachable, and we're reading a letter and you hear of somebody getting saved, and it just makes you excited that we had a part in that, sending a missionary all across the world and seeing somebody get saved. You can just imagine how Paul was feeling, the excitement that he was feeling. But at the same time, man, he longs to be there and instruct them and guide them because he knows what's in this world. He knows the enemy that's after them. But he has this, so he has this excitement. You know, Paul understood that these believers were not going to have just an easy road. He understood that this city that seemed insignificant to so many at this point in time was really the gateway into Asia Minor. It was going to be this gateway city. And if there's a body of believers right here, and we talk about that all the time, maybe in the Philippines and finding regions where people are getting saved and revival is happening and possibly seeing some of those people, and we are seeing some of them reach into China and reach into some of these places that are really locked down to the gospel. And you could think Paul in the same place is thinking, look, listen to this church. There's a body of believers here. And if they get saved and it's on this trade route and others get saved, the gospel's going to spread all over the world, and he's excited about it, as we should be. But they're not going to have an easy road, because the devil sees the same thing that we see. We can see people getting saved, and then the devil sees people getting saved. You ever done something right and good, and you thought, man, the Lord's going to bless, and the next day your car breaks down or something happens, and you think, man, devil, he is just working, trying to discourage. Paul knew that. Why did Paul know that? Where is Paul? He's sitting in prison, isn't he? Of course, he's following after God's will, but it didn't come without challenges. And he knew that those that seek after Christ and those that walk with Christ and those that follow after him shall suffer persecution. And he knew that was going to come to these people in Colossae as well. They weren't going to have an easy road. This is not like this city was just a big spiritual epicenter. No, this was on a trade route where lots of different religions would come and go, where there was money that was abounding. There were riches. There was wickedness. There was paganism. There was all these things inside this city. And Paul also understood that there were many going around, not only that there was all this wickedness and paganism and all that, but also what was happening is that there were others going around spreading that you had to have Christ plus all the traditions and everything else in order to be saved. It wasn't just Jesus Christ and his shed blood on the cross. It was Christ plus works. You had to do something. You had to go, you had to fulfill all of these roles. And so he knew that not only was there paganism and all the things from the world, but there was also this group of Christians that were adding works onto Christianity. And so he understood that there was something all around the corner at every turn that was going to battle them. So the deck was really stacked against them. However, Paul understood an important, really such an important, overarching truth that is the theme of this entire book. The new believers had everything that they needed for this Christian journey in Christ alone. It's in Christ. The new believers had everything they needed for this Christian journey, and they were complete in Christ. And they needed to hear this. They needed to understand that their relationship with Christ needed to be preeminent. That when they got saved, Christ was everything that they needed for that, and Christ is everything that they need for the road ahead. Paul was an important man, and I would never say anything about to talk down about the Apostle Paul. Never say any of those things, and I have so much good to say about him. But we need to understand something. And it's something that Paul understood very well, and that's why he's communicating to them in this book, I believe, this way, that Colossae and Laodicea, these cities where there were churches, did not need Paul. They did not need Paul. Paul understood that they needed Christ. And if Paul was going to come to these cities, he wasn't going to bring his intellect and his own power and all these things. He understood that it wasn't in him, it was in Christ. They were complete in Christ. And no matter whether he came or he did not come, they still had everything that they needed to succeed. We need to understand something. You see, too often, we look at all of our circumstances and situations and we think that we need to just work harder, do better, try more. Work harder, do better, try more. But what we really need is to realize that we are complete in Christ. We are complete in Him. You already have everything that you need. He dwells and lives inside of you if you are a child of God, if you are a Christian. You just need to spend more time with Christ. You need to put more faith in Christ. You need to spend time with your Savior. You need to pour over the pages of this book and get in a deep personal relationship with Christ. Well, I've got all these family problems and I've got all these financial problems, Brother David. What am I supposed to do about all this stuff? You need to spend time with Christ. He is the one that can solve your problems. He is the one that can give you peace in the storm. He is the answer. You are complete in Him. Nothing else. Why do we spend so much time chasing after all the stuff in this world to give us peace and to give us satisfaction? This morning, by the way, we have a great time in Children's Church. I'm having the time of my life over there with those kids. I miss y'all, but they are precious and I love them. We have a good time. This morning, I held up a bunch of candy, and of course, I was like, how many of you want some candy? Yeah, Ray raising his hand. Sorry, bud, I'm out. Of course, they want some candy. I said, will this candy satisfy you? Yeah, bring it on, give it to me. I said, how many of you, if I give you this piece of candy, you are never, ever going to want another piece of candy ever in your entire life again? So if you come back next week, you don't need any. You already had some. They said, well, I'm going to want some next week too. Maybe actually in the next couple of minutes, I might want another piece. I said, we forget all the stuff in this world. We chase after it. We get it. We consume it. It's gone. We forget about it and we go on to the next thing. That's the way the world lives. And you know what? Christians should be different. We shouldn't be chasing after all the stuff in this world to find satisfaction. We should be finding our fulfillment. We should be finding our purpose in Christ. So, Paul is giving a plea to them. He's giving a plea to them. Don't be like the rest of the world. Don't be chasing after all the stuff that's in the world. You know, we think, if I just do this, if I try harder, if I work more, we need to realize that we are complete in Christ. All that stuff. So on Friday, my family and many others drove down to Abilene and for the funeral service of Brother Steve Hendricks, Brother Colin Hendricks' dad, and it was a great service. Brother Colin was able to preach the gospel. The place was packed out. I mean, it was, people were standing in the back, and it was a great opportunity for him to give the gospel not only to his family, but to so many that knew him and that came. So it was a good service, and I appreciate Brother Colin not only preaching the gospel, but just honoring his dad. And maybe he'd given some of those stories, given some of those one-liners from his dad. And I remember Brother Colin saying, you know what? He's like, I'll be in the back of the car when I was growing up, and, you know, I'd be back there with one of my friends, and we'd be talking about things and just different things. I don't know what he's talking about, probably girls and clothes and everything else that teenagers talk about. And his dad would look back at him and he would say, son, you are worried about the wrong thing. And that just kept echoing in my brain. And I'm like, you know what? Sometimes I think the Lord wants to look at us when we are chasing after everything in this world and we are worried about this and worried about this and living out a life where we haven't paused and we haven't stopped and we haven't spent time with Christ. And he's saying, you are worried about the wrong thing. We can change that. Realize that we are complete in Christ. We have everything that we need in Christ. He can change our lives. So, we start revival next Sunday. Next Sunday. It feels like a whirlwind. I mean, I feel like we just started this year, and we're in the fall, and we're having fall revival. I'm super excited about Brother Michael Jones coming and preaching. I know it's really right around the corner. And I have a feeling that many of us are just still plugging away on our spiritual journey. We're here. We come. But we feel like we don't have everything that we need. And feel like we've left something behind. You know, and Paul, he's pleading with this body of believers at every turn, in every circumstance, to find their answers, to find their power, to find the patience that they need, the strength that they need in Christ alone. That they are complete in Him. So let's look at our text. Let's just look. There's just a few things here. We're not going to be long at all tonight. But verse number 6, we're going to read through this, just these verses once again. I want you to notice a theme throughout these verses. As ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the traditions of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. So just interesting to look at these verses, and we see in each one of these verses, but mainly 6, 7, 9, and 10, we see it, that phrase, in Him, in Christ. So number one, we're going to start out looking at these first two verses. We're going to find our foundation is complete in Christ. Our foundation is complete in Christ. It says, as you have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So think back for a moment when you first got saved, and look at where you are now, and hopefully you've grown, you've matured. Hopefully you've been following and walking after the Lord, and you've matured past some things, and you've grown, and God is working not only through you, but maybe through your children and your grandchildren, and you've just seen God change your life. And for some of you, it's been decades that God has worked in your life, and you've maybe even been in this church for years and years, and God has been working. And maybe some of you have just gotten saved recently, and you're starting your journey of faith, and you're seeing these little things here and there that God is doing in your life. I remember things that really tripped me up when I was a new Christian. I remember old habits, a temper, lust or selfishness or a bad attitude, and really a lot of these things that would come up, and on I could go about the things that I was facing and still to this day face often. If we're not careful, we get down the road of life and we realize if we don't deal with these things and we don't find that, hey, Christ is the answer, all these old habits and all these things that I had before, God, I need your help because I'm still attached to this body of flesh that desires to sin. God, I need your help. And I remember there were some struggles I had. And if we could go around the room, we could talk about our sin. We're not going to highlight sin. But I remember 17 years old, bad attitude sometimes, all these different things that it just built up. But there was something different inside me. There was something where every time I'd said the wrong thing, I did the wrong thing, God was working inside of me. And I'd have to get on my face and I'd have to beg the Lord to forgive me and to help me. I remember getting little note cards, and I still do this often. I'm struggling with something, only now I usually put it on my computer or something, you know, or my phone right now. I've got verses on my phone, you know, right here that every time I open it, they're right there because you know what? I need to see it every day. I need to see it often. But I remember as a teenager, we didn't have iPhones back then, teenagers. You believe that? I mean, it was like there were dinosaurs too. I'm just kidding. Note cards. I'd just write down a verse, stick it in my pocket. Pull it out and look at it. And God, help me. He grew me through his word. Teenager, if you think you are going to walk through this life and make it through teenage years with teenage desires, with this flesh attached to you, and you're going to be fine without Christ, and you're going to be fine without reading your Bible, and you're going to be fine without meditating on God's word, and you're going to be fine not memorizing scripture, you are wrong, my friend. You are complete in Christ. But when you walk away from Christ and you think, I got this, I don't have to read my Bible today, I don't need Christ today, I'm just going to walk my own road, you're going to get in that car and you're going to drive down the road, and you may get pretty far. But very soon you're going to realize, I got to turn around. I got to go back because I forgot some things. The good thing is, you can go back. You can get God's word and you can begin to read it, and you can begin to develop that deep relationship with Christ once again. And he's there waiting, open arms, ready and willing to get you back to the place that you need to be to fulfill his purpose. And you know what? There's so much application for each one of us. And I understand that, you know, many of us, we've been saved for years and we've won battles and we've gone through these things. And sometimes we just get really in a rut sometimes. We get to the place where we are so often coming to church, going through the day, and doing the same thing week after week, because I've realized that the older you get, the faster time goes by. Do you know that? Anybody else realize that too in here? The older you get, the faster time goes by. And you can go a whole week. You can go a whole month. And then you look down and you're like, oh, it's been a whole year. And it just goes by like that. And if we're not careful, we can get carnal. Even though we're here and we're doing the same things over and over and over again, and we've left Christ, you could even open your Bible, mindlessly read through everything that's there, and there's nothing going on in here. and you get out on your knees and you go through the motion of praying and there's nothing going on between you and the Lord, you've left him behind. It's time that we get serious about being complete in Christ and stop leaving him behind. I don't know, maybe you don't need revival as much as I do, but I need it. I want it. I desire it. I desire for our church to have it. But we will not have it if we leave him behind. We need to be close to him. So we see that we have all these things, and God is the answer. He is the foundation. He is the one that has saved us. He is the one that the Bible says that we should walk in him. We get saved, we begin to walk in him, and we begin to get rooted in him. We begin to get built up in him and established in the faith. All these things. Don't just get saved and live however you choose. We need to walk in him. We need to walk with him every single day. Someone, listen, I have been with Christians at a restaurant before, and I have been embarrassed. Order doesn't come out right, and what happens? They start throwing a tantrum like a 3-year-old. You know what? Listen, very carefully. If you go in a restaurant and all that's on your mind is food, you've left Christ behind. Your testimony. You're a Christian. Take Christ in there wherever you go. Whatever situation, whatever circumstance you're in, take Christ with you. He is the one that maybe they're having a bad day and you go to a lot of restaurants, you're going to find a lot of people having a bad day, okay? Especially the employees. It's going to happen. But you know what? You can be part of making their day better. You can be part of a life change for them. We need to take Christ with us. Somebody that really has Christ with them is going to protect their testimony and the testimony of this church. Rooted and built up in him. We need to build our lives on Christ. And listen, if you've been at Bethany any length of time, you have been taught truth. Amen? Amen. You've been taught truth. Paul is pleading with the churches to not just stay anchored to their foundation in Christ, but to be ever grateful for it. To be grateful for this church and to be grateful for God's word and to be grateful that you have what you have. And so much so, listen, when you're grateful for something and you are thankful for something and you have this foundation in Christ and you've come to this place where the word of God is preached and you're able to fellowship with believers and you're able to be strengthened and you're able to grow and you see victory in your life, you're going to go out of this place and you're going to be able to tell somebody else about it. And you're not just going to say, hey, you want to come to my church? It's a great place. It's got good preaching. There's going to be a fire in you that wants to tell them, listen, God is working in this place and God has worked in my life and I want you to come with me. I want you to learn. I want you to experience what I've experienced. And I see many of you doing that. It is contagious, you know. You go out and you, whether it's somebody you met at the market or whether it's somebody that you work with or whatever the case is, you're bringing people in constantly. But there's many that there's no excitement. There's no joy because there's no gratitude inside your heart for what God has done, or maybe you're just not thinking about it. And in the area of the gratitude for the teaching and for the preaching and for everything that's true and right in this church, it's just not there and it's not communicated to other people. Find your completeness in Christ and be thankful for what you have. Be thankful for the preaching that we experience day in and day out here at Bethany Baptist Church. I'm so grateful for it. I'm so grateful that my children get to sit under the preaching here at Bethany Baptist Church. So many go and they don't have what we have.
Right.
And we need to truly be thankful and grateful. And you know what? If you get around somebody with a sour spirit and they're always talking down about the church and talking down about this and talking down about that, and there's negativity and negativity, you know what you need to do? You need to get up and you need to walk away and you need to pray for them that God, and you, maybe you can begin to talk good about God's church and good about the things that God's doing in this place. Bring Christ with you into those conversations. Bring Christ with you into those places and with those people, and let the light of Christ shine through your life. He wants to do a different, he wants to make a difference in this place. 50 years has gone. 50 years has come and gone. Are we going to let the next 50 years just be the demise of Bethany Baptist Church? Is it going to, on our watch, is it going to constantly, year after year, decline to the point where, you know what? As Brother Steve said the other day, you know what? It's likely many churches on the corner where their church stood, there's just a smoking crater. Do you want a smoking crater right here at the corner of 40th and Quaker after 50 years? I don't think so. I don't think there's one person in here that wants that. But you know what? If you individually, and we as a church, we leave Christ behind, and we start finding our fulfillment in everything else, that's exactly what will happen. That's exactly what will happen. How do you know, Brother David? It's happening all over. It's happening all over. Listen. Next Sunday starts revival. Well, I've already scheduled something else. Cancel it. You need to be here. I need to be here. We need to hear from God. We need to put Him first. He has this foundation of being saved and rooted and built up in Christ. And you know what? When my parents got saved, we were not in church. We didn't even talk about God. We didn't even talk about church. But then bus worker after bus worker after bus worker came to our house week after week after week bringing candy. Kids love candy, right, Ray Ray? And you know what? They loved us. They prayed for us. God changed us. You have a neighbor. You have people that you meet all the time. They need you to come by. They need you to shine the light of Christ to them. They need that foundation. They need to see that it's real. You know where it starts? Making God's house, God's people, and your walk with God a priority. Christ, I'm not gonna keep pushing things out. I'm not gonna keep finding excuses to be somewhere else. I am going to be here in God's house, and I am going to beg God to work in my heart, and I'm going to promise Him that when He works in my heart, I'm going to respond to Him. That's going to keep Bethany Baptist Church going for decade after decade after decade after decade. And you know what? My kids and grandkids and great-grandkids could come back to Bethany Baptist Church and they won't see a smoking crater right here on the corner. They're going to see a thriving group of people that love the Lord, that keep Him first, and that have kept themselves away from all the junk in the world because there is something more important going on here in this place than anything else we could be doing. We are complete in Christ. Stop trying to find fulfillment elsewhere. You won't have it. You won't have it. You won't find it. It's in Christ. You are complete in Him. You are complete in Him. Just a couple more points. Verse number 8, it says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." Verse number 8 is really talking about our defense is complete in Christ. Because the weapons of the devil's warfare are coming against us. It's really interesting that verse number 8 is really sandwiched between these other two verses, and it's really kind of this warning, this seemingly negative thing. But he's warning us, beware. Just when you try to do something for the Lord, as I mentioned before, the enemy will try everything to break down your defense, to spoil you, just like they would an army would come through and conquer a land and go into the cities and take everything that was good. Satan desires to take everything that's good out of your life, and he will use philosophy, he will use vanity, he will use empty things to fill your time and to fill everything that's in your life. He will use these things, or things that, you know, just they look good, but they are empty and they are full of lies. The traditions of men. He's going after these different things. Paul is in prison, but he is not stopping. Amen. He is going after them. He wants to see them continue to succeed. And then lastly, so this defense is, our defense is complete in Christ. Then lastly, our strength is complete in Christ. Verse 9 and 10, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. Brother David, you don't understand what I'm facing. You don't understand how complicated, how complicated life has become for me. You don't understand the dynamics and the relationships in our family. You don't understand what this person did and that person did. And you don't understand all the financial stress. And you don't understand the work situation and all this stuff. So for the last 2 weeks, well, 3 weeks in junior church, we've been talking about creation. Talking about the universe, talking about the galaxies and the stars and the sun, the moon, the earth, the solar system, the timing and order, but all the way down to the creatures that he created, the plants that he created, and all the detail. And the Bible teaches us, up until man, that he just spoke all that into existence. And you're going to tell me that your problem's too complicated for the Lord? It's complicated because you're looking for answers in the wrong places. You are worried about the wrong thing. You know what? Your answers can be found, but they're not going to be found in you or really anybody else. You are complete in Christ. Walk with him. Talk with him. What would happen if a church this size, we all determined, you know what? This week, I am going to pray that God would start a revival in me. Not just that he would invigorate my witness and my testimony and all these things, but he would stir in me a strong desire to get close to him, to have a deep personal relationship with Christ. Because out of that union and that relationship, that springs life. And all the things that we want, and getting to the destination that we want to go to, having everything that we need will spring from our completeness in Christ and our oneness with Christ. So I want to encourage you, church, tonight as we begin this invitation, take the time just to ask Christ, do a work in me. This week, God, help me to get close to you like I haven't been in a long time. To walk with you, to talk with you. And God, when Sunday comes and revival starts, I'm ready for you to just do a work on me. And when Monday comes, I'm here and I'm ready for you to do a work in my heart. And Tuesday and Wednesday. And you know what? I believe that just in this time frame, just in this week's time, if we determine that we're going to spend time with Christ and we're going to seek him, we're going to have a close personal relationship with him, I believe that it will turn this church upside down, and this church can turn Lubbock upside down, and we can do a great work for God for decades and decades to come. Our kids and grandkids going off into ministry and serving the Lord, and, you know, that's what I want to see. I don't want to see, Brother Steve, I don't want to see a smoking crater right here. I want to see us continue on strong for Christ. Not going to happen in us. It's going to happen with our relationship with Christ. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your goodness. We love you. And God, I pray.